Welcome to the Human Kindness at Work podcast, where you'll hear inspiring stories of people just like you making a difference in their corner of the world. You'll hear how human kindness is at work and how you can be a part of it. I'm Jennifer Clark. Ready to be inspired? Here we go. Is good housing a problem in your community? Not just housing that doesn't bring your property value down, but housing that is affordable and dignified for residents? On this episode of the Human Kindness at Work podcast, you'll hear a story of a couple who is bridging the gap between their city's housing reality and the housing dream they have for their community. Jacob Taylor is a longtime resident of St. Joseph, Missouri. He's a husband and a father of two, the family pastor at Word of Life Church, and an outdoorsman. Jacob loves fishing, hunting, nerding out on theology books, and a good cup of coffee. And he's found a way to use his hands and his heart for the good of his community. Welcome to the podcast, Jacob Taylor.
Man, Jen, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here. This is going to be fun this morning.
You're welcome. Glad that you accepted the invitation. So for our listeners, Jacob and I used to live in the same city in St. Joseph, Missouri, which is about 40 minutes north of Kansas City. So that kind of gives listeners a map of where you're located. St. Joe is about, what, 75,000 people?
Yeah, I think that's close, depending on, you know, the season, because we have a university here. So students come and go. Yeah.
Sure. Typically blue collar work.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. That's a fair assessment.
Okay. So that gives listeners just an idea of where you are, what kind of city you're in generally. You and Megan, your wife, have started Cedar Bridge Company. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah. So I guess I'll just briefly share a little bit of the story. Like, my wife and I, just a typical, I think, like middle-class America, we bought our first home and we were young and didn't have a lot of money. So we bought a fixer-upper, and it was this beautiful old home in our community, 100-year-old home. And we worked for like 5 years with no kids. We had nothing else to do with our free time. So we just worked on our house, and we found like it was so life-giving just to bring this house alive and back and restore it to its original beauty after it had been kind of neglected. And then we just caught the bug. Like, we loved doing that together. And, but then life goes on and we didn't want to live in our projects anymore. So we thought, well, how fun will this be to do something that we feel like we're good at and that we enjoy together? And so, you know, this one thing led to another, plus the fact that we're looking around at our community and we have so many distressed properties in St. Joseph that are really beautiful homes, that are, we live in a really old community. It's got a long history. A lot of our homes were built 100 years ago. And so we just decided to go for it in the middle of COVID. Like, what else are you going to do?
Of course.
You know, like, let's try something new. And we just decided to start this thing called Cedar Bridge Company, where we wanted to, and some people are like, there's no cedars in Missouri. You don't live in Texas. Like, this is why cedar? And the why is, you know, cedar is something that's sustainable as far as a building material goes. Mm. You don't have to treat it. You can put it in the ground. You can put it outside. It can stand the test of time through the weather. And it's, you know, it's resistant to bugs, all those things. So the thought was, cedar really represents the heart behind what we do. We want to be a part of something that is sustainable and that will stand the test of time, both in how we run our business and also the actual homes that we're rehabilitating and providing for the community. We want to do things well. And then the bridge part is really our heart to bridge the gap between where our community is and where we believe we can be. So we want to be a part of that solution. And that kind of is how we got started.
I love that. And it does not surprise me at all that you two put that much thought into your name. That's just who you are. Like, you're so intentional, so purposeful. I love that. Where did you learn the skill set?
Sure. Yeah.
Like, flipping houses is not something that just the average person does.
So this is part of my story. So you've mentioned I'm family pastor. So I'm also a preacher and love to communicate stories. I think stories are so powerful as humans. Mm-hmm. We can learn so much because every one of us is living a story. And then when we hear other people's stories, I think it can help encourage us and inspire us in our own life. And so for me, looking back over our story, I feel like most of the things that have been my greatest pain points in life have become my greatest gifts later in life. Like we don't learn from the moments that are comfortable in life. We normally learn our greatest lessons from the biggest challenges in life. And so even as a young person, 10, 11 years old, my family, my parents divorced, and my mom went down a journey of difficulty, and in her own way, she struggled with substance abuse, ended up homeless at one point. So that's like one part of my story. Wow. But then my dad was kind of the one in that season who really took over, you know, parenting us, but also providing a home. He went from one income, two incomes, my mom and my dad both working full time, to one income. And now he's trying to make ends meet. And so he worked for the U.S. Postal Service. He was a good old mailman. And no, he didn't stay. He worked in an office at this point with the Postal Service. And so in the evenings and weekends to make ends meet, he started a remodeling business. So he did construction work as a 20-something year old in life. And so he had the skills and know-how. He started remodeling houses and doing odd jobs, handyman jobs in the evenings and weekends. And he forced me to work with him. Child labor. No, he paid me a decent wage, but I hated it as a teenager. You know, my evenings and weekends, my job was working for my dad, holding ladders, holding the board while he was cutting it. But I learned so much through those years. It was probably one of like the hardest seasons of my life as a teenager. And yet it kind of, it really gave me a lot of the skills to navigate the difficulties of life. And also I learned how to remodel houses. I learned more than I thought I did. So anyway, and I'll kind of come back to this part with my mom, but it's just been neat to see how life can just become beautiful, even though it can be very painful. So that was the foundation for learning was my dad. I hated it as a teenager so much, and now I'm so grateful that I learned all those things.
It's that tapestry of grace that you always talk about, right?
So like,
yeah. When you look at the front, it's beautiful. The back is of that tapestry is kind of crazy, but man, yeah, that's beautiful. Okay. So you and Megan have this kind of mantra to flip the city, especially for those who haven't been in St. Joe or lived in St. Joseph. Why is flip the city your mantra?
So I grew up in the suburbs of Atlanta, Georgia. And I moved, my brother lived out here in Missouri. When I graduated high school, I moved out here and met Megan at that time and just kind of stayed. But where I come from, in the suburbs of Atlanta, everything is manicured. Everything is, I didn't realize it growing up, but then I moved to like this rural part of Missouri, St. Joseph. It's kind of an agricultural hub city for a lot of rural communities that are around us. But, and there's a lot of cool, wonderful things about this community. But to be honest, coming from like the pretty suburbs of Atlanta to this town that honestly, our median income is the national poverty line. So like as a city, we are poor. And so then to see just driving around, poverty is obviously on paper a financial statistic, but it's also like it can have this kind of mentality that takes over. And so the whole community has a median income that is poor, but it also has this kind of standard, I think, view of life that is a poverty mentality. And so it felt like I moved here and I realized like, man, most people just walk around with a chip on their shoulder and they're always talking about how terrible this place is and why would you ever come here? And for some reason, my strange self just thought, well, this is a perfect place for me to settle down because I feel like I, in some small way, could make a difference here. This place needs people who, following Jesus, I'm like, well, I'm in life called to be a light in the darkness and some kind of change agent in the world that I live in. Let's put down some roots in this place and try to make a difference. And so I don't even know what the original question was, but flip the city.
Flipping the city.
So this has been a long journey. I've been here since 2003. So 21 years I've lived now in St. Joseph, longer than Atlanta. And I have seen a flip happening, not just houses. I mean, that's just kind of a play on words. You know, we flip houses, so let's flip the city.
Sure.
But it's more than that. Let's not just, we will flip houses as a part of our greater desire to flip the mentality of our city, that this is not a place that's going down the tubes. This is a beautiful place that has a long history, and the people here matter, and the next generation is growing up. I have some friends in the real estate business who they came, we were in conversations at the very beginning, and they could have left and moved for a job or whatever, but they stayed and they said, we want to make a difference here. I had another friend who said, we got in real estate because we want to see our community changed, because this is the place we're raising our kids. And so we have a vested interest in the health of this city. Let's be a part of making a difference. So that whole mentality is where Flip the City came from. It's yes, let's flip homes, but let's flip our mentality in life and start seeing
things. I love that.
Yeah, in a different way.
Okay, let's talk about this, Jake. Flipping the city means, yes, you're doing great things for other people, but it's true that you also have an income from this, correct?
Yeah.
This is another source. It's not your main job, but this is a source of income for you. I just keep thinking that in the circle that I grew up in, giving equaled sacrifice, total sacrifice, and getting nothing in return. I'm not saying that's what was spoken to me, but that's kind of what I walked away with. And so I, as a young adult, had this idea of, in order to really be a representation of who I believe God is, in order to show human kindness to the world around me, I needed to totally sacrifice everything, not get anything in return. And I think that's a little messed up. This idea, I do think that sometimes giving does require total sacrifice. There's no doubt about that. And any kind of giving requires some sacrifice. But this idea that a rising tide lifts all boats is really something that I've latched onto in my later years as an adult. Talk about that. What do you think about that? As far as giving sacrificially and earning an income, how does that hit you?
Yeah. So, first of all, it's that saying, "A rising tide lifts all boats." I was thinking about this. When we provide quality housing, there's the obvious, like, okay, here's someone who lived in some terrible housing situation that was full of, you know, bed bugs, and the landlord won't address it. And they, you know, there's just some terrible living conditions. The roof is leaking, you know, all these things, mold is growing, their kids are suffering, and the landlord just won't do anything about it. Oh, well, we want to provide quality housing, and that seems like doing good in the community. Yes, that's like an obvious to me. But what I've seen in our business, and this will come full circle, our willingness to take the risk to build this business has provided food on the table for so many people. I think about my contractor and his family. We have a contractor we work with. He has 9 guys on his crew, and every one of them provides for their family because we took the risk of doing business in this way. Not only that, but my property manager that's going to manage the rental property afterwards, her and her partner provide for their family. The realtor that I use to list our flip properties is an income for their family. And then, you know, I'm just thinking, of course, you could say the tax dollars. I mean, taxes is whatever, but I have to think about all the ways. Like every time I pay property tax on any of these properties, you know, we're investing in the schools and libraries and things in our community. So I'm seeing like our willingness to say, yeah, we're going to go, because business is risk. There is risk involved. You've got to take the leap.
Sure.
But to circle back, would we take the risk if there was no reward? Like, no, we're not going to start a business if it's not financially like going to be profitable and sustainable. And then for our family, our motivation, I mean, I have kids. I want to build a future for them and give them some financial stability in life. I want to, you know, just like anyone. And so it's like, it doesn't have to be either or. It can be both and.
Yeah.
And
yes.
My joy, I mean, come on, anybody, like the joy of getting a fat check in life, that's, you get money in your Christmas card as a kid and you're like, this is awesome. Like, it's so fun to earn money. And I think that's something I was raised with, hard work and seeing the rewards of that hard work. But then the additional joy, and honestly, the lasting joy of thinking about the lives impacted by good mm-hmm. work with integrity and sustainability. The more profitable we are, the more opportunities we have to expand that business to provide for even more people that work with yes. us and for us and the future of our city. And so it's all good. You know, I love it. But that means we have to be good at remodeling houses, but we've got to be good at bookkeeping and, you know, watching our expenses. And there's a ton in it that we're learning along the way of like, man, we got to be really good business people as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
I hope that as people are listening, that they have light bulbs going off like, oh, I've had this idea to start this business or just some way that they can affect their community. I just hope that they're inspired by this specific act of human kindness at work, because I think it's beautiful. I think you're right. It does not have to be either or. It can be both and. And I think it's a great example.
Yeah. And I would say, sorry to cut you off. If people are on the fence, I have found that you never start if you don't just start. So there is a sense in which like,
so true.
I mean, you're doing the same thing. You've started so many new things. Like you don't know it all and you won't know it all. Like do your research, do your due diligence, but then eventually just start. And I would say, don't start alone. Find people that will be in your corner. Find people that know more than you. Find people that you can go to lunch with and say, I'm really stuck on this. What do you see that I'm not seeing? Don't do it alone, but at some point you just got to go and learn along the way.
Yeah, it's true. And I think that's true of most things in life, not just business, but anything.
Absolutely.
Like you want to make a difference, you gotta jump. You have an idea, an inspiration, go for it. Just start. I think that's beautiful advice. Jacob, is there anything else that you would share with listeners who want to make a difference where they are, whether it has to do with housing or something else?
What we do in life is going to be different for all of us. For Megan and I, how we do this has been just as important as what we're doing. And that's true of like, we want to be profitable. So let's be smart with the way that we run our business. But we also want, I'll say this, a mantra that I have is, it takes a lifetime to build a reputation and a moment to lose it. And so for us, we are growing in our community and you know, the influence and the work that we're doing. So we're building a reputation, and especially in housing, I know when I have a decision to make about whether we're going to fix a repair or how we're, you know, are we going to spend the extra money and cut into our profits to do something right? I mean, that decision is made often for us. And I always want to remember, it takes a lifetime to build my reputation and a moment to lose it. I want my reputation to be in good standing in this community, especially when we're talking about providing homes for people. And so it's just a gut check every time we have a decision to make. Yes, we want to be profitable, but we also want to maintain our integrity in how we do business. And if one day we have to shut things down because it's no longer profitable, I know that I can go forward into the next venture having the reputation that I've built. And I've already seen the people that I've done business with will bend over backwards to make doors open in the way that they need to. And so for me, I can't end without saying how we do business is just as important as what we're doing in business. And so let's maintain our integrity. Let's be people of character. And most of all, let's do business with human kindness, believing that we're all in this together. So.
Oh, Jake, that's so good. So, so good. Hey, if listeners want to follow you, to connect with you and Megan and what you're doing there in St. Joseph, how do they find you online?
Yeah, so we have our website, which is cedarbridgeco.com. But we're most active on Instagram. CedarBridge_co is our Instagram, and we're posting pictures, you know, just telling our story along the way. So follow us, and we'd love to see what other people are doing in this space as well. So
yeah, awesome. We'll put that in the show notes too. But Jake, thank you for being here, for sharing how human kindness is at work through CedarBridge. And I just think your passion, you and Megan have this passion to see not only homes restored, but lives restored, is really inspiring. So thank you. And I'm cheering you guys on as you flip the city.
Thanks, Jen. It was really good to talk with you today.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Human Kindness at Work. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like, share, and subscribe. It really helps get the word out so that more people can be inspired to make a difference right where they are. Until next time, look for ways that human kindness is at work around you. And don't just notice, be a part of it. See you next time.